Okay, good to see everybody. All right, we're going to do part two of the lesson we started last week. It's a very simple lesson, but yet it's one that needs to be spoken over and over. It's just like the lessons on authority. You can never have too many of those lessons because that is really one of the most important things that we need to talk about when it comes to the authority that comes from God. And so our whole point in life is living a life faithful to God, and the only way we can do that is by doing the way He tells us to do it. And so the point of these lessons are to go against what they teach in the world of once saved, always saved, or the idea of faith only. And so this has to be spoken against and talked about, and so we're going to do it. And James 2:26 says, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so faith apart from works is dead." All right. Once again, like I say, a very simple lesson. Faith apart from works is dead. It does not work. Works without faith is equally dead. And so, that's the same thing, really. And so we're going to learn that faith justifies initially, but works perfect and complete justification. It brings it around. And so that's what we need to point out in this lesson, is that, yes, we do need faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, Hebrews 11:6. But it's our works that complete and perfect our faith. So usually in the Bible when it says perfect or faith is perfected, in other words, it's made complete. And so what it brings about is our justification before God. Justification before God can only come about because we have complied with the commands that He has given us, the instructions He has given us. And see, in James 2:24, the phrase faith alone, which is the Greek pisteos monon, only occurs once in the Bible. Man is justified by works and not faith alone. Or some version might say, not faith only. Only, alone, basically means the same thing, by itself. Faith by itself does not justify. And so we also know that works by themselves do not justify. It's a combination of both. That's why we talk about faith and works. See, unlike what many Protestant churches teach, nowhere in Scripture does it say that man is justified or saved by faith alone. Nowhere. It doesn't say that anywhere. And yet you can walk into any denomination out there and they'll tell you you're justified by faith alone. And of course, that's false teaching. And sadly, those people that listen to the false teaching and follow the false teaching and believe the false teaching, they're not going to go to heaven. And so we have to be aware of that. And we know that sometimes people go around looking and trying out different places. And when they come to us and we say that you're not saved by faith alone, yeah, that's different from what they've been hearing. And we need to back that up with Scripture. So we'll do so. Man is not justified by faith only. Faith is important, yes. Definitely a man needs faith. A woman needs faith in order to be saved, but not faith alone. Just about everything else that we can talk about, there's nothing really works alone. Nothing works by itself. Grace does not work alone. Faith does not work alone. Works do not work alone. And then the fact that Jesus died on the cross, that does not work alone. We have to combine what He did for us with our own faith and our works for it all to bring about the desired result of our salvation. See, a person is justified by faith and works acting together, which comes solely from God's divine grace. God told us what He wants. And so by offering us the gift of salvation, which we call His grace, He gave us certain rules and stipulations. Now, this is how you get it. And so we look at that. Faith alone never obtains the grace of justification. Faith by itself does not do that. Just for someone to say, I have faith. Really? Anybody can say, I have faith. But as we read in our scripture reading, I'll show you my faith by my works. Okay, that's the demonstration of our faith. Just saying I have faith. I mean, just like saying, well, I'm a Christian. Well, there's several things we have to consider there. First of all, do you act like a Christian? Do you talk like a Christian? Do you behave like a Christian? Do you go to church like a Christian? I mean, you got to look at all these factors. And so, we understand that. So what does the Bible teach concerning this subject? In Hebrews 11:6, as we said, faith is indeed the minimum requirement without which we cannot please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so we recognize that. And this is just the beginning of the process leading towards our justification. We believe God. Now, some people, I mean, they can hear about the justification God offers and never do anything about it. And that's not going to bring about their justification. It's when they learn what they need to do according to God's instructions and do those things, then it brings towards us the justification. So faith alone does not justify a person. And justification is only achieved by faith and works, as we're going to see later on in this sermon. And also this gratuitous gift of faith from God, which we call His grace, also includes the grace of hope and love the moment the person is justified. When we get to that point where our sins are washed away, and we know this happens through baptism, when our sins are washed away and our sins are no more, then we recognize we're justified in the sight of God. And so, yes, that's how it happens. This gift of faith includes the grace which God gives us. Now, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not as a result of works that any man should boast. So Paul teaches us that faith is the root of justification. It's not the end all, it's just the root of justification. And if you realize, a plant really can't get started without a root. And so a plant that grows, it starts with a root, then it sprouts forth. Just like our faith is that root which sprouts forth into works. And so, and of course, Paul is talking about not as a result of works that any man should boast. And Paul, in that case, is referencing the works of the law or the old covenant, Mosaic covenant. No. We're not justified by the works of the law, and we read about that a lot in the book of Romans. No, the works of law that Paul is talking about is not what brings about our salvation. Now, the works that God has given us to do, I mean, this is the following the law of Christ, these are the works that bring about our justification. So, but Paul does not teach that faith excludes other kinds of works, as we're going to see. Like I say, nothing works alone. It's always in combination with faith, and our works is going to bring about our salvation, our justification, and sanctification. The verse also does not say we are justified by faith alone. And that's true. And that's the point of our lesson. It only indicates that faith comes first. We have to start with faith. And what is that faith? The faith that, yes, I believe God. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And that's where it starts. Once you realize that you're starting to believe what God has said, you recognize, okay, I've done some things I shouldn't have done. God's not happy with me right now. So it's the beginning point. Faith has to come first. I mean, doing anything without faith is not going to get you anywhere. Being baptized without faith is not going to get you saved. It's just going to get you wet. Repenting without faith is a kind of like a moot point. It's not necessary. There's really no need for it. And then, of course, going to church without faith, eventually, hopefully, you'll learn what you need to learn so that you can get there. I mean, when we bring our little children to church, I mean, they don't have faith, but yet they're there. Eventually, over time, they're going to learn what they need to do in order to be justified in the sight of God. And it's going to take time for them. But really, like I said, doing anything without faith is just a waste. And so this, of course, must be true because those who do works outside of faith, they're basically in a system of debt. In other words, God owes me. I'll go out and I'll give $20 to the homeless guy. Now God owes me because I did something good. And so we make it up in our mind, I do something good, God owes me. Well, that's not what we're talking about either. And so that's why people do these works. They think, well, God owes me, so that's a system of debt. But it's not of grace. So, and we'll talk about grace as we go along. Faith alone does not justify. See, in Luke 24:47, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name of Jesus. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Turn and you'll receive the blessings. And of course, 17:30 in Acts, he says, God has winked at the ignorance of men, now commands all men everywhere to repent. Repentance is necessary. And, of course, why would you repent if you don't have anything to repent of? Think about that. I mean, if you're not aware that you have sinned and caused God grief and harm, why are you going to repent? There's no reason to. So, yes, we have to have that faith that what we've done is wrong in the sight of God. And so we want to make things right with God. So what do? We need that repentant faith. And it's not just an intellectual faith that believes in God. It's the type of faith that moves us to do the works that God has told us to do, which includes repentance. Repentance is not just a thought process, like some people say faith is, but it is an act. It is a work by which we ask God for his mercy and forgiveness, and we change our course of action. And so here's the point here. Some people just in their mind think, well, if I just believe in God, that's good enough. Well, some people say, well, I repent in my mind, so all of a sudden my sins are clean. And that's how some people think about it. But that's not the case. See, God has told us what we need to do. Not only, yes, we should be sorry for what we've done that is in opposition to God, but we need to change our ways. We don't continue doing the same things. We don't continue in sin. We do not willfully sin. We've got to stop the sin in our lives. And so we change our course of life, the change of direction, which is included in that word that repentance is talking about. And this is what God has told us to do, what God has asked us to do. In Psalm 51:17, this means we need a broken and contrite heart. You know, the psalmist said, you know, you're not pleased with sacrifices and burnt offerings, but a broken and contrite heart you are pleased with. It's got to come from our heart. You know, we talked a few weeks ago about doing things, and if our heart's not in it, it's not doing us any good at all. That's when our worship becomes vanity, when our hearts are not in it. And so that's what we need. It's not just some sort of intellectual mindset. Oh, I believe God, so all of a sudden I'm cleansed of my sins. All of a sudden I'm saved. No, that's not what we're talking about. Faith in God is only the beginning. And there's a lot more to do after that. You know, in John 3:36, he talks about those who do not obey the Son will not see life. Romans 1, 5 talks about the obedience of faith. Romans 6, 17 talks about the fact that we're the servants of the one whom we serve, either of sin resulting in death or of righteousness resulting in life. And then Romans 15 continues talking about this concept. And Romans 16, 26 once again comes back to the concept of obedience, mentions the obedience of faith. So faith gets us to obey. That's what it is. It leads us to obey. Paul commended the Thessalonians because of their faith, because of what they did. And so in 1 Peter 2, Peter talks about this, that leads us up to, why do we have faith? We are being built up as living stones into an obedient type of faith. And this faith is going to make us a very special people. It goes on in the next verse, talks about the fact you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people for God's own possession, so that you may declare the excellencies of him with whom we ought to do. And so Hebrews 5, 9, Jesus, the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. And yes, so if we can be faithful until death, you know, Revelation 2:10 says that. Revelation 3:10 still talking about the fact that we need to repent and turn from our wicked ways and serve the Lord as we should. And then so we need to obey God, Exodus 19:5. And so this faith must also be an obedient faith and a work of faith. Once again, people start screaming, well, you do this as works. It's a merit-based salvation. In other words, you do this, God owes you salvation. No, salvation is a free gift of God. But faith without works, without obedience to God, does not save. So obedience means persevering in good works until the end, which God tells us to do. Be faithful until death. Do the good works God has told us to do until the end. Not until we get retirement age, not until we get tired of working or just tired of doing it, but until the end, until the end of our life. We've got to be doing good works for God. All right. See, in 2 Corinthians 10, 15, this faith must also increase as a result of our obedience. And so as we continue to obey God, our faith gets stronger. And Paul hopes for this in this verse, talking about the Corinthians. I hope that your faith continues to grow stronger and stronger. Just previously, he had commended them for being faithful and showing the signs that they were trying to be serving God to the best of their ability. And he commended them for that. Now he says, I want you to go more and more. As Paul said to the Ephesians, I pray that your love may abound. He said that to the Philippians, I pray your love may abound even more. And he told the Colossians that he prayed that they would abound and grow. He told the Thessalonians that you're doing a great job, but I want you to excel still more. And so what that teaches us, what it should teach us, is that good enough is not good enough. A lot of times we get to that point where we think we're good enough. Well, I'm good enough for God. And then we just stop right there. No, good enough should never be good enough. We should always work to increase our faith, increase our knowledge, increase the works that we do for others. We should always be working towards increasing our value to God. And so it's all there. And faith is what drives all of this. Obedience is achieved not by faith only or alone, but by doing good works. Doing the works that God tells us to do. Those are good works. Whatever God tells us to do is a good work. You know, Jesus went about doing good, right? Jesus said, I only did what the Father told me to say or do. And so, that's right. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul admonishes us to examine ourselves to see whether we are holding to our faith, to see if we are in the faith. And that's something we need to do often. A lot of times we might do this maybe once a quarter, once every year. Am I faithful to God? I mean, no. We should be doing this constantly, examining ourselves. Am I doing enough for God? I have so many scriptures memorized. Is that good enough? What if I was to learn some more scriptures? That'd be a positive thing. So we always need to increase. We need to increase our level of faith and demonstration of our faith. And so the examination of our conscience is a pious practice. It's not, look how good I am. I mean, we could sit there and brag if we wanted to. And some people do. But it's not for the purpose of saying, well, I'm good enough. I mean, there's always room for improvement. I mean, you've got to believe that. If you don't think there's any room for improvement, you've got a problem. You've got too much pride. So we're never good enough, but we can be working towards getting better. Now, we might be, based on our activities and our faith and our obedience, we might be good enough for God. But we should never be satisfied with our current condition. There's always more we could be doing. There's always more that we could learn. So our faith, which is a gift from God, must be nurtured. It must be taken care of. And so faith is not a one-time event that God bestows upon us. As some people try and say, well, all you have to do is have faith. God gives you faith. Well, it's what God did that we learn to believe him. All right, Galatians 5:6, Paul said, thus the faith that justifies us is faith working through love. So faith has to work through love. All the works that we do it because, one, we love God. Two, because we love our fellow man. And three, we do it because God loves us. I mean, just a reciprocal type of love. So faith is working through the love, and it's not faith alone, like the denominations teach. They teach faith only. It's not that way. Faith does not work alone. So this is one of the best summaries of Christian teaching. Faith working through love. So faith and love, manifested by works, are always connected. The works that we do are seen by others. You know, Paul commended the Thessalonians for their works, and they had a reputation among all the brotherhood of their faith that they had. And how did they demonstrate that faith? By the things that they did, by the care and concern they showed to others, by their hospitality they showed to their brethren. And so Paul commended them. And so we're supposed to do the same thing. Faith and love demonstrated by the works that we do, what we do for others. So faith, a process of thought, and love and action are never separated in the scriptures. Realize that. There is no such thing as faith and then love, two separate things. They're always connected. Just like faith and works are connected, they have to be connected in order to be effective. Ephesians 3:17, 1 Thessalonians 3:6, 12-13, and 2 Thessalonians 1:3, 1 John 3:20, Revelation 2:4, 5, and 19. I mean, yeah, you can look these up later. I don't have time to read them all or quote them all. But still, read them later, and you'll get the outline later on also. See, all faith, initial and perfected faith, are gratuitous gifts from God and are not earned or merited by any human action. See, that's what we're accused of. When we tell people, you need to be baptized for the remission of sins, well, you're doing a meritorious work, which you're saying God owes you salvation because of that. No, we're not. we're doing the works God has commanded us to do. We're doing it by faith. And so that's how we are justified. It's not anything that we earn or merit by any human action on our part. But when we turn around and do what God tells us to do, that's God's work, right? Paul told the Colossians, God has began a good work in you when you obeyed the gospel. And so that's what he does for each and every one of us. When we obey the gospel, God starts a work in us. Now, what do we do with that? Do we stifle it? Do we cover it up? Do we hide it? Do we just kind of shove it off to the side? Or do we put it into action and start learning more and doing more as a Christian should do? See, God affects everything, both the willing and the achievement. So yes, it's what God drives us to do. It's what our faith drives us to do. And you can see we're saying the same thing, just attributing it to different processes. It's either by our faith, by our actions, by what God gave us to do, by our own selves, by our own minds, we are purposed to do these things. So that's where it comes from. So God also requires human action, which is necessary to perfect our faith. And that once again, that word perfect means to complete our faith. Bring our faith to complete submission before God. And that's what it does. And so we need to do something. You know, some, like I say, the denomination teach all you have to do is have faith, and that's all she wrote. That's all you need to do. And so people hear that, and they just continue on in their wicked, evil, worldly ways, and they think they're going to heaven. They have been deceived, and they won't go to heaven. See, James 1, 22 through 25, it is the doers who are justified, not the hearers only. So he says that, be ye doers of the law, not hearers only. Just because the law exists doesn't mean we have that salvation. It's only when we apply that law to ourselves and do what that law commands. That's when we become doers of the law. And doers are going to be justified, whereas those who don't do anything are not going to be justified. You might have the same faith, or say you have the same faith, but it's those who do that are recognized. You know, Hebrews chapter 11, the great hall of fame of faith. Everyone that's mentioned there is because of what they did, not because they had faith. See, justification is based on what we do, which means the works that we do. And these aren't works that we come up and make up in our own mind. Well, if I do this, if I go take hamburgers to the poor out there, and if I provide blankets for the homeless out there, those are works which God's certainly going to welcome me into heaven. No, it's not anything that we make up on our own. The works we do are the works God has told us to do. You know, just about every one of those denominations out there talks about this. You don't have to do what God tells you to do. So what's the result of that? People don't do what God tells them to do. And look at the world we're in today. Look at the result of that teaching. So notice there's nothing about false faith. I mean, we might talk about false faith. People claim to have faith, but they don't do anything about it. So, I mean, it is a false faith. I mean, it's not going to provide salvation. It's not going to provide justification or sanctification. So that's what it is. The hearers may have faith, but they need to accompany their faith by the works. And like I said, the works that God gave them to do, or they will not be justified. Romans 2, 13 talks about that. Our justification comes through our faith. All right, James 2, 17 and 26. James clearly teaches faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. I mean, this is our scripture reading this morning. Verse 17, well, actually that was last week's scripture reading. And verse 26 will be next week's scripture reading. But still, faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. And works are a cause, not just an effect, of our justification. Because good works achieve and increase our justification before God. That's what they do. When we do those good works, and what are those good works? Well, we know what those good works are. Anything God has asked us to do is a good work. You know, letting our light shine is a good work. Being kind to your brethren is a good work. Showing love to your brethren is a good work. And then, teaching others is a good work. And we talk about saving faith. And what is the type of faith that we need that is saving? Well, the scripture really doesn't ever use that phrase, saving faith, unless it's the faith is combined with works. And of course, those works are combined with what God has told us to do. And so instead, here and elsewhere, the scripture teaches that justification is achieved only when faith and works act together. And that's the point of our lesson. And so scripture puts no qualifier on faith. Now we have to explain that. What is a qualifier? Well, okay, faith by itself is nothing. But yet we know faith and works does help. I mean, faith and works brings about all these things. So really, you can have a believing faith. Well, like we read in our scripture reading, well, the devils also believe and tremble. And so, yeah, believing faith, okay, that's really not going to accomplish anything. Now, obedient faith, yes, that does accomplish things. So, yes, the obedience of faith. So that's how Paul puts it there in Romans. All right, scripture also never says that faith leads to works. It really doesn't say that per se, but if we understand the true faith, we're going to know it's going to lead us to do what God tells us to do. And so the faith that we acquire recognizes the authority of God, and therefore that causes us to make up in our own minds, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm going to put away all the bad things, all the unrighteousness, and I'm going to put on righteousness as God has commanded me. So that's what we do. Faith is faith and works are works. That's right. Two separate things. But for them to be effective in our salvation, they've got to be combined and work together. They are distinct, mind and action, and yet must act together in order to receive God's unmerited gift of justification. Okay, I mean, it's not hard to determine this. Let's say I want to wash the car. In my mind, okay, I'm going to wash the car. That's my mind. But that car is not going to be clean until I get out and apply some action, right? I mean, it's simple to understand. I mean, that's the way it is. See, James 2:19. As we said, the demons believe that Jesus is Lord, but they tremble. See, faith is not enough. Works are also required. James 2:20. Do you want to be shown, you shallow man, that faith apart from works is barren or useless? I mean, faith without works is vanity. Another way of saying it. Good works and God's grace are required for justification, but there is nothing in the scriptures about saving faith. And yes, but yet we also realize our faith leads to our salvation. So it just the etymology and just the semantics about it. Yes, there is a saving faith, but we cannot say that the saving faith is faith alone. We cannot say that. James 2:22, faith is active with works and is completed by works. That's what we read in our scripture reading this morning. Yeah, faith becomes active with our works, and our works complete our faith. It does not stand alone. So faith needs works to affect our justification. James 4:17. Whoever knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. So James writes that the failure to do good works, the failure to do works is a sin. Works of righteousness, that is. Now, works of iniquity? No. I mean, you got to stop doing those. But doing works of righteousness, if you fail to do that, it is a sin. It becomes sin. So works are absolutely necessary for our justification. James 2:15-17. The example of the works to which James is referring. Corporal works of mercy, like giving food and shelter to those in need, rather than just saying, okay, be warm, be filled, go on your way in peace. I mean, do something for somebody. You relieve the need that might be there, if it's at all possible. You do that. James 1:27, another example of works, is visiting orphans and widows in their affliction or their distress. Now, otherwise, if they do not perform these good works, their religion is vain. That's what it says in James 1:27. You don't do it, it's vanity. See James 2:25. Another example of works is when Rahab assisted the spies in their escape. You know, she was mentioned there. What did she do? Well, we're going to realize that good works increase our justification and perfect our faith. Now, in Joshua 2:9-11, Rahab mentioned that all the leaders had witnessed when the Israelites came across, that when they stepped into the water with the ark, the waters backed up and the Israelites came over on dry land. They believe these people have a God that's going to take care of them. And we believe that. And they were afraid of them. And so Rahab's fellow citizens had faith in God, but they didn't do anything about it. And in Joshua 6:22-25, Rahab saw the spies and brought them into her home and set her on the roof and hid them to keep them safe. And they said, okay, you saved us. What can we do for you? Well, save me if you will. And they told her, tie the scarlet thread in your window, hang it in the window, and you and your house will be safe. Whoever's in your house will be safe. And guess what? She was recognized, she was saved, and guess what? She is mentioned in the lineage of Jesus Christ, because not only did she have faith, but she acted on that faith. And that's the lesson we need to learn as well. This is faith in action. And that's what we need. James 2:18, to avoid the truth of this position that we are justified by both faith and works, Protestants argue that justification that James is referring to is before men, not before God. Yeah, they're going to argue that because, well, they keep trying to teach that faith only brings about our salvation. So the works that he's talking about here in James 2 must be works before men. Is that really the case? Scripture disproves their claim. Notice James 2:14. Can faith save him? Salvation comes from God. This proves the justification James is referring to is before God and not men. James 2:19. James reminds us that even the demons believe and tremble. This refers to our relationship with God, not with men. Thus, our justification that requires works and not faith alone relates to our status before God and not men. James 2:21. James also appeals to the example of Abraham. Abraham's justification refers to his position before God, not men. I mean, he was going out there to do what God told him to, sacrifice his son. Who was out there? He told his servants, you stay back here, we're going to go on ahead. And so he was going to take his son and do it before God and not before men. So this proves justification before God and not men. Acts 10:35, Peter teaches that anyone who fears the Lord and does what is right is acceptable to him. It is both fear and works, not fear alone. And of course, the fear is not being afraid, but is that reverential fear or that respect. Romans 2, 7 and 10, to those who by patience and good works will be granted glory and honor and peace from the Lord. Yes, there is a resurrection going to take place. Those who do wickedness will be raised to basically face their judgment, and those who by patience and good works will be granted glory and honor and peace from the Lord. So we do these things to be pleasing to the Lord. Romans 2:13, for it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. And Paul is referring to the law of Christ in Galatians 6:2. He's not referring to works of the law, which he does talk about in Galatians and in Romans. He talks about the works of the law do not justify. And of course, he's making reference to the Mosaic law. People who try and go back and justify themselves to the works of the Mosaic law, they are severed from Christ. Galatians 5 and verse 4. All right, so we have all these, and by grace are you saved through faith. So the law of Christ is faith in Christ and works based on grace. So God really owes us nothing, but yet he was kind enough to offer us everything. And works of the law means no faith in Christ. I mean, and this in this case, the works of the law means the Mosaic covenant doesn't do anything to help us gain the salvation that is in Christ. And so the works of the law means no faith in Christ, and legal works based on debt, which we think God owes us something. So we don't merit our salvation. We do what God tells us to do so that we can be saved. And so when we do that, we can be saved. In Romans 4, 5 and 6, to him who does not work but believes, his faith is accounted to him as righteousness, like David who was a righteous apart from works. Yeah, I mean, it's confusing sometimes what Paul said, but the works he's talking about, the works of the law. And so Paul is emphasizing that works must be done in faith, not outside of faith. Somebody might be able to do something nice. They take blankets out and distribute to the homeless. That's a nice work. Nothing wrong with that. But if they don't have faith in God, does that provide salvation for them? No, it does not. And so there's a lot of things which people consider are good works. Helping others, being nice to somebody. Those are good works. But if they're not combined with our faith, it's outside of faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. So if they're done outside of faith, we are in a system of debt where we think God owes us. We do nice deeds and we think God owes us. Well, that's never going to be the case. Now, God is nice to us. He shows his favor to us. He grants us favor and his grace. But we don't earn it. If they are done in faith, as James requires, and we are in a system of grace, God rewards us. Why? Because we've only done what God has told us to do. We haven't added anything to it. We haven't made up in our own mind, well, you know what? I think we ought to start offering animal sacrifices to be pleasing to God. We'll set up an altar right over here, and we'll have to use a microwave because you can't light a flame. But we'll offer a sacrifice to God that way. And God's going to be pleased with our humility. And no. Only doing those things which God has told us to do is a saved. So Paul accepts the works performed under God's forbearance, under God's grace, in Romans 2, 7, 10, and 13, and Romans 14, 10 through 12 talks about the fact we will stand before God and give an account. And 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through 17 talks about the things of this life basically appear to be foolishness before men. But that's the way God designed it. And we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10, which leads to our justification and eternal life. So these verses have nothing to do with faith only or faith alone. And Paul uses the word alone three times. He uses it in Romans 4:12, 16, and 23, but never uses the word combined with faith. It's not faith only. Certainly, if he wanted to teach faith only, as so many claim, he would have done so. And you would think the Bible would make it plain enough. If faith only was good enough, it would tell us absolutely, right? I mean, if we can be saved without baptism, why did Jesus tell us we need to be baptized? Why did Peter tell us we need to be baptized? Why did Paul have to be baptized? Why did Paul teach people needed to be baptized? See, Romans 6:16. Like we said, obedience leads to righteousness. And obedience is a good work, an act of the will, which leads to righteousness before God. And it's not something we make up in our own mind that we think, well, this will be good and acceptable. No, we know what God wants. We learn what God wants, and we do that. 2 Corinthians 9:8, Paul teaches God will bless us so that we may provide in abundance for every good work. We can do good works for others. We can help each other as Christians, and we also have the ability to help others who are not Christians. Who knows? It might spark their interest into why we are who we are and what we are. Good works are encouraged to complete our faith. So we need to do good works. Ephesians 6:8, whatever good anyone does will receive the same again from the Lord. So, God rewards good works done in grace. See, Philippians 4:17, Paul says, I seek the fruit which increases to your credit. And yes, fruit, good works, increase our justification. Paul says these works increase our credit, which we could say our merit. But they're not things we've made up. They're the things God has told us to do. The fruits, works, and merits are all born from God's unmerited and undeserved mercy, won for us by Jesus Christ. They all came into existence by God's grace, and that's what he's talking about. Titus 3:8, good deeds are excellent and profitable to men, just like the Old Testament scriptures in 2 Timothy 3:16. They are profitable. And so, good deeds further justify us before God. And you might think, I'm doing pretty good in the sight of God. I don't do this or that. And I stay away from all the prohibitions. You think, oh, I'm doing pretty good. You know what? You need to do more. Do more. Abound still more. This verse should be contrasted with Titus 3:5, where we are not saved by works of righteousness that we have done. We're saved by justification by what God has told us to do. In this verse, what we have done refers to a work of law or obligation for which we might seek payment. Well, I'm going to be baptized so that I can be saved. Well, I mean, if we're doing it for that purpose, that's the wrong reason. I mean, we obey God, we're baptized for the remission of sins. And then that starts us on our spiritual journey. Verse 5 also says the washing of regeneration in reference to baptism. It saves, which is a work of grace, God's plan. Man didn't come up with baptism on his own. God taught him that. And so, it's a work of grace for which we are rewarded by God in Christ. So there is a distinction between works of law or obligation and works of grace. There is that distinction. 1 Peter 2:7 and 8, John 3:36 shows that belief in Jesus means obeying Jesus. Yes, we need to be obedient. Having faith means being faithful, which requires good works as well. It's one thing, yeah, I go to church. Okay, what do you do good for the Lord the rest of the week? Think about that. What good things do I do for the Lord the rest of the week? And so obeying Jesus means doing works of love, not just having faith only. Sometimes we think, well, if we make it to church on Sunday, we've done our duty to God. Wrong. It doesn't work that way. We've got to be continuously doing good works and doing more good works. So to be justified before God, we have to demonstrate faith accompanied with works. They don't work by themselves. And nothing by itself can bring about our salvation. And we can say, faith doesn't bring our salvation, faith by itself. Works do not bring about our salvation. Obedience does not bring about our salvation. God does not bring about our salvation by itself. It's always in combination with the other things that he's given us to do. And there's many things he's given us to do. So these few verses should be enough to teach us that the doctrine of faith only is wrong. And if faith only is right, then the Bible is full of error. The Bible is just a pack of lies. If that doctrine of faith only is right, and yet millions and millions of people believe that false doctrine. So who are you going to believe? And that's up to you. And we'll conclude this series next week, Lord willing. And so that's our lesson for today. Consider these things. It's good to see everybody here. And we hope that you'll get something out of this. And definitely, as Paul and Peter both said, it's no problem to remind you of these things. As Paul said, they are a safeguard for you. And so, if someone start talking faith only, you'll have some ammunition to say, that's not really true. And you might lead them out of error. So think about those things. We're going to sing our invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.